No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 20th day of January, Inauguration Day in the U.S. At last check, the 45th President of the United States was airborne en route to Florida, having left the White House for the last time with no intention of attending the inauguration of Joe Biden, but not before rescinding an executive order to prevent former White House employees from lobbying once they've left the administration. It's safe and easy to say this is an inauguration day like few others, if any, in American history, and it is quite clear that the first few days and months of the 46th president's term will be in their own way, unlike obvious precedent, too. What with Mr. Biden promising sweeping action to reverse his predecessor's legacy, especially on issues such as immigration and the environment, both with potentially profound implications for the Lone Star State, clearly. But just two of many we plan to discuss in more detail over the course of this hour as we examine the challenges ahead for the Biden administration with a special view to its impact on Texas and Texans. Joining us on this historic Wednesday, two people with a lot of experience watching Washington with just such a perspective. Richard Pineda is director of the Sam Donaldson Center for Communication at the University of Texas, El Paso. Professor Pineda, thanks for speaking with us on this historic day. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, David.
And Todd Gilman is Washington Bureau Chief for the Dallas Morning News. And in fact, he is joining us from the west side of the U.S. Capitol, site of the inauguration. Todd, thanks so much for taking time out to speak with us on what is obviously a very busy news day for you. Where are you exactly? Can you describe it?
I'm happy to be here, but I'm sorry to say the Marine Band, the President's Own, just started up again. I'm on the west front of the Capitol. I'm about 150 feet, I would say, from the platform where soon-to-be President Biden will take the oath of office and give his inaugural address. I'm actually standing in the section reserved for families, so there are like pairs of seats together, just ahead of the diplomatic corps and right behind the reserved for cabinet. So I'm about 20 feet from Mayor Pete at the moment.
Todd, was it difficult getting, I would imagine it would be exceedingly difficult to find your place there today on the Mall?
Security is very, very tight. It actually, this is my sixth inauguration, and frankly, because this was the easiest to get here, because there's hardly anyone here. There are hardly any tickets. I would guess no more than, 2,000 seats, and that includes the press corps, the diplomatic corps, family, cabinet, Congress. I mean, there's just hardly anyone here. Traffic was great. There are by far more National Guardsmen surrounding the Capitol than guests at the inauguration, tenfold.
Can you tell us, since you have attended inaugurations in the past and obviously covered many administrations, can you give us a sense of the tone and sort of timbre as Joe Biden takes the oath of office? Is it one of optimism and excitement, or how would you describe it?
Well, I have to say it's almost surreal in a lot of ways. The spot where I am standing is where that mob was surging into the Capitol just exactly 2 weeks ago. The lack of guests here, the incredible security. I was here post 9/11, and that was some tight security, I thought. And I've been here for July 4th celebrations. You know, security is tight in Washington. This is beyond anything that any of us has ever experienced. I mean, it's not a war zone. There's not gunfire. You don't feel in danger, but it's occupied territory in that sense. So it's joyful for the Democrats who are taking over. It's somber for everyone in Congress who fled for their lives and, you know, hunkered down just 2 weeks ago. And it is especially somber for the Republicans who have now lost their grip on power.
Richard Pineda, director of the Sam Donaldson Center for Communication at UTEP, I want to bring you in here because from a distance, what does this all add up to as you think about the early days of a Biden administration? How does this set the tone for those first few weeks and months?
Well, that's a great question, David. I think these first 100 days are going to be overshadowed by the pandemic and the administration's response in terms of how they change up vaccine distribution and also the focus on trying to get the economy back on track. I think that's going to be different than previous first 100 days. Although I have to say that even looking at the lineup for Senate confirmation hearings, who's in place to replace the administrators and secretaries that were in the Trump administration, I think they all point to hopeful signs. I mean, first, you've got people that have experience. Second, you have people that understand how policy works. And I think that those things are important. I think today is going to be somber, largely, as Todd pointed out, because of the security cordons, because of the nature of what happened in Washington with the Capitol attack. But I think given that, I think that President-elect Biden has a wide field and I think has a mandate to be able to lay out a very aggressive first 100 days.
The first 100 days is so critical, and it's said almost with every incoming new administration that you have to hit the ground running, and that sort of sets the course for the administration. But my concern, I suppose, and the concern of many, Richard Pineda, is whether or not you're going to actually be able to live up to the expectations, right? I mean, already there's talk of the president moving back to the bringing the U.S. back into line with the Paris Climate Accords, for example. There are going to be expectations on what's done with immigration, which is of high concern to Texas and Texans, as well as the environment. President-elect Biden has been quite outspoken when it comes to issues of, for example, doing something about fracking and about drilling on federal lands.
Right. And I think even today, David, there's supposed to be a whole flurry of executive orders, both signed and rescinded. And I think that that's indicative of the tone that the administration wants to take. I don't think that there is any easy path to some of the accomplishments that President-elect Biden wants to try to have under his belt in these first 100 days. But I think that there is a clear vision for that. And there's certainly a pathway given the power the Democrats have in Congress and the tiebreaker in the Senate. So I do think that this is a little bit more. There's a little bit more procedural hopefulness than I think is normally in these circumstances. So I think in that regard, it's good. Public opinion is going to be very interesting to see, David. I think that especially putting immigration front and center, given its natural controversies, I think that's going to be a big issue. And I think how the administration handles that is going to be a good indicator of what these 100 days will be like.
Todd Gilman, I don't know if you can hear us over the band playing on behind you there.
I can hear you.
I want to ask you, though, because there's still a lot of unfinished business, not the least of which is an impeachment of the outgoing president. What are you hearing when it comes to how that will proceed or whether it will proceed at this juncture?
Well, it will proceed. The Democrats will have control of the Senate as soon as Kamala Harris is sworn in as vice president, and as soon as this afternoon when the Georgia Democratic senators take office, Chuck Schumer, the incoming new majority leader, will certainly proceed with impeachment. But the timing is unclear because there's no question that that process will create a logjam in the Senate that could slow down Biden's agenda, could slow down confirmation of cabinet secretaries. I actually just asked Pete Buttigieg a few minutes ago who the designated survivor is. I don't think there is a designated survivor. I don't think that there's a confirmed cabinet choice. I don't think there's a Biden-appointed designated survivor, at least. You know, they are way behind, and impeachment is going to gum up the works, in part because Republicans are going to make sure that it gums up the works. They are adamant. I spoke with Ted Cruz a little while ago. He was with the other lawmakers waiting to come out to the West Front. And there's no question people are digging in. Republicans, despite the signals from Mitch McConnell yesterday, who said really extraordinary that Trump had inflamed and incited that riot and was responsible for the violence, kind of signaling that maybe he would even vote to convict Trump. There is a hard core of Republicans in the Senate who are just never, ever, ever going to go along with that. And they will inflict pain as Democrats try.
That is a question, I think, and that raises a question, I think, that a lot of people have asked, and that is how or whether Joe Biden can bring about healing in this country. And I know that, you know, Texas obviously went for Donald Trump, and there's been a great deal of concern about how much traction Joe Biden can get with his opponents, especially Republicans. I want to ask you, to what extent does he need to court Republican support? And I want to ask that of Professor Pineda.
Well, I think it's incredibly important, David, and I think that you're going to see some conciliatory language in today's inauguration speech. I think the sense, even watching some of the moderate Republicans, is that they will appreciate and respect the idea that policy and people who understand policy are back in play. The question really is going to be, you know, how much Biden can accomplish in 1 year, because my sense is that's about as much time as he's going to get before the focus becomes the midterm elections. And so really, the question is, can you get Republicans in line to pass not only some of these major policies, but can you involve them in the administration in a fruitful way? I think it's 1 year, and then I think the midterms become such a looming deadline that it's going to have an even bigger effect in terms of how the administration moves.
That's the voice of Richard Pineda, director of the Sam Donaldson Center for Communication, University of Texas at El Paso. Also joining us on the line from the West Front steps of the Capitol, Todd Gilman, Washington Bureau Chief for the Dallas Morning News. Todd, Richard, thank you so much for speaking with us on The Standard.
Sure,
you're welcome,
thanks.
David.